Proverbs chapter 18 this evening, and singing songs about the Savior. And tonight, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 18 and a verse that we have seen before, but maybe not in the way that we've thought of it before. And Proverbs 18, we'll look at several other verses as we begin the message. So the structure of the message is a little bit different tonight, but we're going to be looking at some verses. And this evening, I want us to think about some very weighty thoughts, if we will. I know it's Sunday evening, and we've had our nap, we've had our Sunday lunch, but I want us to think for a moment. And tonight, a question: is Jesus your friend? Is Jesus your friend? He said, well, Pastor, of course he is. We know that Jesus is friend of sinners, and we sing the hymns about that. But have we ever considered this fact that God is high and we are lowly? God is high above us. He is the master of all things. He's the creator of the universe. He stands outside of time and eternity, but we are lowly. We are finite. We are limited. Second, that God is all-powerful, and we are frail and feeble. God is holy. We are sinful. Yet Jesus wants to be your friend. Amen. Jesus wants to be our friend. Well, why? Because he loves us. Now, another question that I was in the van this week, and I was listening to a song talking about this particular fact, you know, good Christian music, and was listening to this. And we always talk about and sing about how much of a friend Jesus is to us. But have we considered what kind of friend we are to Jesus? Think about that for a moment. And we're going to look at some passages of Scripture and people that are described as the friend of God. We know Jesus is our friend and is our Savior and wants to be our helper and wants to be our protector and is always there for us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. But have we considered what kind of friend we can be to the Lord? Now, as a pastor, that's kind of a weird thought. I mean, it's a different thought, a different way to think of it, but really, we see it found in Scripture. So, and what are the attributes of a friend? We're going to look at that tonight. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Proverbs 18 and verse number 24. Proverbs 18 and verse number 24 tonight. A man that hath friends must shew himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that you will bless our time together in your word. And that, Lord, we would take this thought: are we the right kind of friend to you, dear Lord? I know you need nothing. I know you are the master of all things. But, Lord, there have been many that have been described in your word. Actually, few that are described as your friend. We think of Abraham and Moses and others that have been described as your friend, dear Lord. We're going to look at those areas tonight. And I pray you show us, Lord, what kind of Christian we need to be, what kind of relationship we need to have with you, that you would show us, dear Lord, and guide us. I pray that, dear Lord, you would give me the right words to say, that you would hide me behind the cross, that these not be my words but thine, and that you would challenge our hearts. And, Lord, we can all draw closer to you. And I pray that we're challenged with that tonight. I pray you would bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Is Jesus your friend? Here's a real question tonight. Do you want Jesus to be your friend? And do you want to be the friend of God? Because in order to be the friend of God and to be friends with anyone, we're going to look at the different types of relationships tonight and which one describes you. There's only one correct one, and there's four that maybe describes us and describes where we're at in our relationship to God. But first, I want us to look at some passages of Scripture when we talk about being a friend of God. We're going to start in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 33. Let's turn over there, Exodus chapter 33, in verse number 11. We're going to look at several Scriptures, and then we're going to get into the message. And we look at Exodus 33 in verse number 11, and we see a description given of Moses, in that we see that God describes Moses in a particular way. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, right here, well, this is a message in of itself right here, in that we see that was the important attribute that how Joshua became the leader of Israel, because he wanted to be in the presence of God. Amen. True leaders want to be in the presence of God. But right here, we see that the Lord spake to Moses, that the Lord and Moses had a relationship. They had a closeness. They had a friendship. We see that also a description, you can even say that about Enoch. That Enoch walked with God, and then the Bible says he was not, for God took him. He had such that close relationship with God. Now look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 and verse number 7. We see another description of another giant of the faith in God's word, described as the friend of God. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse number 7. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend? Abraham, thy friend, forever. Now imagine that. Imagine being recorded all of eternity in the annals of Scripture as the friend of God. Amen. What a wonderful description. And we think of this as so far away from us. Pastor, this is not where we live today. This is not, you know, this just isn't like that anymore. Why? Not because God has changed. Man has changed. Our culture has changed. The expectations of church and Christendom have changed. God has not. By the way, you don't see the expectations of Christendom and the church and the culture of church found in the Word of God anywhere. You see what God expects, but not what man ought, not what we see today. Look at Isaiah 41 in verse number 8. Isaiah 41 in verse number 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham. Once again, Abraham is described as what? My friend. Let's read that verse aloud together. Isaiah 41, verse number 8. Let's read it together aloud. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham. All right, my friend. So Abraham was a friend of God. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We see another description given. So we see Moses and Abraham, but we don't see many others mentioned in this same way. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 19. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 19. A description given by Jesus. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Right here, Jesus is indeed a friend of sinners, not in their sin, but a friend in whom he wishes to save from their sin, wishes to change from the inside out. That Jesus is a friend to sinners. Look at John chapter 11, verse number 11. Last passage we're going to look at, then we're going to get into the message. John chapter 11 and verse number 11. John 11, 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Lazarus is described as Jesus' friend, the friend of Jesus. Is it possible for a person, a human, a Christian, to be the friend of God, to be the friend of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. We see it described here. It is absolutely. And what that means is we're not talking about, and by the way, our idea of friendship, modern friendship, is not really the idea of what friendship really is. And we see friendship as, hey, someone's my friend on Facebook, right? Hey, they saw my name, and I thought they looked like nice people, so I sent them a friend request, and they clicked and said, hey, they're my friend now. That's not what friendship is. That's not what friendship is. I mean, you have friends on Facebook. You know, how many of you gone through your friend list? How many of you ever done this? You go through, it's like, how in the world this person get on here? Who is this person? And you find out they're a friend of a friend of another friend of a friend of another friend over here. And you're like, how in the world? You know, they just saw that they had mutual friends and just clicked. And, you know, and you're like, man, these people are seeing my pictures and all these things. I have no idea who these people are. Right? And then they send you a message, or and they're the ones that comment, make all the different comments on your family doesn't make comments, but perfect strangers do on your post. You know, I've never had that happen. Like, hey, creepy, this person's watching me. But, you know, you look at that. I said, Pastor, I said, are you paranoid? A little bit. Okay, I grew up in the woods. Okay, so I grew up in the woods way back out there. That's why I'm a little different, you know. But, you know, I grew way back in the woods. So, you know, it's one of those things. If you're outside of your house and you hear something in the woods and you know there's nothing back there for like 3 miles, it's either an animal or somebody that's not supposed to be there. Okay, you know, we had hunters sometimes. And you know, in the woods, you know, you're out there in the fall and you're just sitting there. You're sitting on a rock. We had like our Plymouth Rock, there we had this big huge boulder. We have no idea how it got there. It's like this huge boulder just sitting there right behind our house. And we lived on a mountain. I don't know. I guess it was left over from the Ice Age or something. I don't know. But I'm sure it had been there for billions and billions of years. And had eroded away and things like that. And we'll talk about that later. I said, Pastor, we need to talk about this. No. But we would sit on there, and my brother and I, and well, we was a good ways from the house, not real far, maybe a little less than a quarter mile. So we'd be sitting out there, and we would be listening, and then we would hear a ways away, snap. Now, by the judge, if you've better lived in the woods or been hunting, you can judge the size of whatever it is by the snap. Okay, if it's like a little twig, okay, it's probably a rabbit or something. But if it's like a crack, okay, it's something that has some weight to it. It's either a person. But then when you hear crack, thump, thump, you know, they hear the leaves rustling, kind of like lumbering along. You know, we look at each other, you know what we do? We run for the house because it's probably a bear or something like that. We had that happen a couple of times. I had dogs come out of the woods and different things like that. So, you know, when you get like that, you kind of look around. You know, when something's not supposed to be there, you know, you kind of get a little paranoid. You know, when you go out and take the garbage out and then you come eye to eyes with two big eyes like this out there and you run like a ninny back in the house screaming because you don't know, and it wasn't the right height for a dog. It was probably a bear. We don't know what it was. Different things like that. I said, Pastor, did you do that? Guilty as charged. Guess what? You come face to face with a bear in the middle of the night, see what you do. But anyway, how we got off on that, I don't know. That's right. You got to bring it back now. Hey, the rabbit part, we know that part. But the real question is tonight, what level is your friendship with the Lord? What level is your relationship with God? It's okay, I have a wonderful relationship with the Lord, and I praise the Lord for that if you do. If you have a daily walk with God, I praise God for that. But there are times we have to take stock and look at, is Jesus really my friend? Now we look at different types of friends that we have. You know, we know there's the fair weather friend, right? The one that is always there when they need you, but they're never there when you need them, right? That's exactly what happens. And that whenever you have a problem, oh, I'm busy. You know what? And you said, man, I helped you with all this stuff, and I helped you. You're always there for me. And then when I need help, you're never there, right? That's a fair weather friend. We've all had people like that. Then there's the non-committal friend, you know, and trying to get into a friendship, but there's no commitment there. You know, well, I'll see. I don't know. And, you know, I'll see if I'll be there. I don't know if I'm going to go do this with you. I don't know. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to call you. I don't know if I'm going to be able to text you, the non-committal type of people. We can go through the different types of friendships, but really we can take these and we can apply them to God in that we have no problem taking from God. No problem enjoying the blessings of God. No problem enjoying the protection of God. But when God says, I need you to follow me and do this for me, we disappear. And then we just back away and say, well, we're non-committal. Well, we'll see. Right? There's no more non-committal things that, you know, if you want to see, non-committal, just do a church project. Right? I don't know, Pastor, we'll see. I'm just joking. We have wonderful people here. I said, Pastor, we have wonderful people that are there. But there's always the one that say, well, I don't know. I'll see. Right? No, Brother Davis, what I'm talking about. 10 people are supposed to come and 3 show up and then the other ones come right when you're done. Right? When you're done. 5 minutes left. You know, church work day. You want to see non-committal. Church work day. We'll see if we'll be there. But what level of friendship do you have? The first level that we see is acquaintance, people that we are familiar with. We know their name. You know, and there's some Christians that know the name of God, and maybe they're saved. That's about it. As we close out this year, where is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you in a close relationship with him, or are you just an acquaintance? Some people just have an acquaintance with Jesus. They've been saved, but they don't know much about the Bible. They don't know much about God. They've never experienced answered prayer. They don't study their Bible. They come to church, but they don't get much out of it because they're just not really engaged. Do you know that there's people that we're acquainted with, but we don't really want to know them any better? We keep them out here. You know, there's people that maybe, I kind of want to get to know them. You know, and you want to get to know people. There's certain people, you want to get to know. And the people that we want to get to know are people that are like us, right? That have the same interests, the same goals. But, you know, sometimes acquaintances, they're weird people. You know, they have weird thoughts about things, you know. And I kind of talk to them, and, you know, they always talk to me. Maybe you had that friend that was, you know, maybe in college or in school, and they were kind of the, you know, the nerdy type, you know. They had the thick glasses and everything. They were really, really smart. Why you didn't really want to talk to them? Because they always got the A on the test, and they were saying, so what did you answer for this one, you know, and things like that. And or they saw your score on the board and said, hey, do you need me to tutor you in math or whatever like that? I need some help. I'd love to help you, you know what? And we get to people like that, and we look at them and say, you know, I really don't want to get to know them. Because I'm not like them. I don't understand. Or they begin talking to you about the newest, latest experiment, the new invention they're making in the basement, right? Or the experiment, how they almost blew up the house or whatever. And we don't have a lot in common with them. So we're just like, we're just kind of like being polite and smiling and saying, oh, you know, that's nice. You know, and they're saying in your mind, I have no idea what they're talking about. You know, some people have that kind of relationship with the Lord, that they really don't want to get to know Jesus. They don't want to get into the Bible. You know why? Because they and Jesus, they don't have much in common. They know they're saved. They know they're on the way to heaven. But as a Christian, they don't have much in common with God. What they do, the way they live, the way they talk, the way they think, their outlook on life, their philosophy, they don't have much in common. And so instead of getting to know the Lord and getting maybe changing some things, they'd rather keep God at arm's length. And they don't want Jesus to be their friend, and they don't want to be a friend to Jesus. And you would be shocked how many people live like this, that they live at this place. We run into them all the time, people that used to go to church, or people that go to church very rarely. Or that, I used to go to church and do that. And then you look at their life and you say, well, maybe they just went to church for a little while. You found out they went to church for 20 years. For going to church for 20 years, they didn't learn a whole lot. So, yes, I went to Bible studies. You found out, I mean, they went to revival meetings. They went everywhere. They went missions conferences. They went to Bible studies. They went to everything, but nothing ever changed in them. Because they didn't want to change. They wanted to keep God out here. And they were just sitting here in the pew, and they were just sitting, and they were listening, and they were like, well, you know, that sounds great, but that's not for me. How true is that? There are times in our life when we do that, and we sit there, and we can maybe sit through a message, or we sit through a Bible study, or we read our Bible and say, well, yeah, that's great, but that's not for me. Are you an acquaintance of God? Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 22. Matthew chapter 7. There are some that know the name of the Lord that aren't saved, that don't know Jesus Christ and think just being familiar with God will save them. No, only through salvation, through Jesus Christ, putting our faith and trust in him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These are people who aren't saved. These are people that were familiar with the name of God and maybe knew the lingo and got past everybody and maybe gave the right answer to the pastor, got baptized, joined the church, and were sitting in the pew, but they're not saved because they knew they had to give the right answers. And they knew how, and they're a member of the church, and maybe they even teach a Sunday school class, or they do work in a ministry. I said, does that happen all the time? There's pastors' wives that have gotten saved. Amen? Mrs. Harvey got saved after she was married to Pastor Harvey. I got saved right before I married my wife, but it almost was after. But anyway, I got saved before, but you know, I got right with God, and before, you know, I got saved. But other people, I mean, many people I know of that, they were youth pastors' wives or youth pastors themselves. You know what? They're in a revival meeting and they know they're not saved. They've been serving at ministry 5 or 6 years. They come to the pastor, "I'm not saved," but they got hired because they knew how to give the right answer. Maybe they really thought they genuinely were, but they were the acquaintance of God. Maybe that's you tonight. You can get saved tonight. Make it 2 services where someone gets saved. Someone saved this morning. Amen. Praise God for that. And then don't go away tonight. And there was many times I heard messages like this growing up. And then when I was in college, I heard message after message after message. Don't go away tonight. Don't go away this morning without getting saved. And I did many times over. I'll take care of that later. I'll take care of that later. If you're not sure that you're saved, you need to get it settled. Are the acquaintance of God? And I think this is something that we see, but I don't think we see it for real super faithful people in church. We don't see this. But then let's go to the next step and say, well, I'm not an acquaintance. I'm closer to God than that. I said, well, now let's look at the casual friend. Casual friend. People that we know, we talk about the weather. We talk about the sports scores, you know, who won the NASCAR race, that type of thing. You know, we talk about maybe our job, maybe you know someone in the Army. Hey, you know, you maybe have the same MOS or something, and you talk about those things, and you can talk about, oh, yeah, do you remember when we went through that part of training? Oh, yeah, I remember that. So how did you do? And you have that kind of conversation. You know people. This is usually what you have with people at work. You have this casual friendship. You might talk about politics every once in a while, but, you know, usually keep it to general subjects, you know, how's your family doing? Oh, good, you know, we went to the lake this weekend, or we did this or that. Now, this is where a lot of people begin their relationship with Jesus after they get saved. They get to this point, they begin growing, they get discipled, they begin growing in their relationship with God. And they get to this point of the casual friendship. What are the attributes of this? Well, they know basic information about the other individual, they know their name, they know where they're from. They know the name of their wife and children. They know, you know, what job they have. You know, just basic things. They have something in common. Spend a minimal amount of time together. You know, maybe they see each other at work, you know, 10 minutes a day, an hour a day. You know, maybe even go and maybe you're at church. You see them at church fellowships. You see them every Sunday and Wednesday. And you say, hi, hey, how you doing? But, you know, that's just a casual friend. Just casual. You know, you like them. Hey, you know, has some things in common. Now, I'll tell you something. This relationship isn't going to grow unless one of the parties is willing to invest in the relationship. Now, we know God is. We know God wants to have that closeness with us. But God never forces anything on us. God never forces anything on us. You know why? Because he wants genuine and real love from us. And if we're going to truly love somebody, you can't force that. He offers us the gift of salvation. He doesn't force us to take it, but he offers it to us whether or not we want to choose him or not. It's not going to grow unless we're willing to invest. And Jesus is always investing in our relationship with us, but we are the ones that have to invest in return to grow this friendship with Jesus. Some new Christians never grow past this level of friendship with the Lord and miss many of the blessings of a close relationship. They begin, maybe they come to church and they read their Bible sometimes and they pray sometimes, but even still, they haven't really seen answered prayer. You know, they're not living a terrible lifestyle, but they're not living as close to God as they should be, and they're not soul winning, and they're just really kind of living their life, doing their thing, and not really concerned about the will of God. They're just being, you know, just being there, showing up to church and just being there. You know, the acquaintance is someone that you rarely see, but the close friendship person, you know, well, or the casual friend, you see them quite a few people in church. And they're the ones that usually they'll come to the first day of revival, but they'll miss the second 2 days, and then they'll come on the last day of revival. Right? Because isn't that what revival is about? How not to be a casual friend of God, but to be have a close relationship with God. And they need to grow. But just like in any human relationship, things can distract and can come between us and the Lord. And only at our hand does this happen. Never, ever in our relationship with God does it stall out because of God. It's always because of us, because of decisions we have made, because of things we have decided to do, and a place we have decided to stop. So if we say down here on the ground floor that this is where we begin, and then maybe we can go up to acquaintance right here, and then we can go up to casual friendship. You can see I've got some steps to go here. Okay, and then we get up to close friends, and then we get up here and we go on our journey up, 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 up until we get to heaven. But anytime along that way, this is where God is, and he's never going to change. Amen. Praise God for that. He is always here. He's always going to stay here. He always has been here. He is the same place where he was when Moses came to him. He's the same place he was when Abraham came to him. He's in the same place when Enoch came to him. And they all made the same journey, getting closer to God. But it's us who decide. When we keep our eyes on Jesus and we start here, we get saved, and then we're at the acquaintance and we grow up. That's as close as I want to get. Because the closer you get to God, the less we have of what our flesh wants and desires. Down here, we have our salvation. Then each step along the way, there is less of us, less of our flesh, less of our sin nature. That makes it up there because God cannot be in the presence of sin. The closer we get, this is called sanctification. This is called purging ourselves of the world. Now, I'm not preaching sinless perfection here. Can we get to the place of sinless perfection? No, I do not believe that because our flesh is corrupt and corrupt permanently until we get to heaven, until Christ, he gives us a new body and the resurrection happens and then our flesh is changed into the glorious, perfect new body. But we're always going to have this flesh. We're always going to have these temptations until we get to heaven. But along the way, God doesn't change his position, but we have to step forward. And there are people we know on all steps of this. There's people that we know. Let me ask you a question. People that you know, they're the friend of God. Amen? We know people like that. I would be surprised if you know five like that. I would be surprised if you know three. Maybe you know two, one or two. But it's a rare thing. Especially in our day and age, it's a rare thing. It doesn't have to be. Amen. It doesn't have to be that. We need to see things grow. Okay, so all right, I know I don't need to be the casual friend, and maybe you're there. Well, you can change that tonight. And that brings us to the third level, that of a close friend. A growing Christian must make a decision to take his relationship with the Lord to the next level. He is not satisfied with just a casual relationship with the Lord, but wants to be in a vibrant and growing relationship with the Lord. You know, that's really, if you look at it, you can look at it as a courtship. You know, when you found that special someone, you know, I remember when I saw my wife, all of that, she goes, oh, no, I'm a sermon illustration again. Here we go. But that when I met my wife, first time I met her, I was like, wow, that I really love for that woman to be my wife, you know, because I was going to be a missionary pilot, and she was a nurse, and my role model in life was Nate Saint. You know, he was martyred in Ecuador as a missionary pilot, and he married a nurse, so I wanted to marry a nurse. So that's what that was. As a pastor, was it really that simple? Yeah, it really was to me. That's what I wanted, and I thought she was pretty too, and she was godly and a wonderful girl, but then she decided she didn't like me. And then I sit down with her, and young people, do not do this. I sat down with her, and I said, you know, it's God's will for you and I to be married. Barely knew each other. Like, barely. I mean, really, this is really crazy. I said, really, were you that weird, pastor? Yes, I was. I was determined not to let this girl get away. I was determined. I mean, up in northern New York State, we didn't have many prospects up there, okay? So I was like, this is the one! And I wasn't even saved at this time, but I had prayed about it, and I had made it a matter of prayer. And I prayed about it for all of about an hour, and I said, this is it. and I know this is what I want. And so so the Lord wants this for us. You know, I just have, by the way, it wasn't that because the Lord had told me that. It's because I just happened to be wanting the same thing God wanted. It was a coincidence on my part, okay? But right there, I saw that, and I saw her, and then I said, we need to be together. And she looks at me and said, you're nuts. You know why? Because I went from nothing to way up there. And I said, that's what I was, what we need. But then it was years later, 4 years later, that, and then I'm more mature and things like that, and I had met a couple of other girls, and no one compared to my Bethany. And now she's going to wilt of shame, die of shame in the back. But it's really true. I compared every girl with her, and they just didn't measure up. So, and I went And I just wanted to get things right with her before we graduate. She still doesn't believe that. That's really what it was. Maybe there was something going on in the subconscious, but I don't know. So I just asked her, hey, can we go out to lunch and make bike? Because there was a message about getting things right and not being bitter and things like that. Because I got really mad when she didn't want to be with me. And then I didn't say some nice things about her to other people. And just kind of did that. So I said, I just go to lunch with her. Let bygones be bygones. Get things patched up because we're about to graduate. And then we can go on our merry way in life. And then we began to talk. And we began to have an acquaintanceship. And then we began to talk about things. And then we began to talk, and we kind of was like, well, we have a lot in common. And things, we talked about missions, we talked about serving the Lord, we talked about different things. Still wasn't saved at this time. And we were just talking about these things, and then when we were on our way back, my wife-to-be, and about at that time, about 6 months later, but I didn't know that, but she said to me, it was about 8 months later, I think, it was about January this all started, but she said, I want to do this again. Can we talk again? Now, I really liked talking with you. Can we talk again? Can we have lunch again? I said, yes, I would like that. She doesn't remember this. You got to remember this part. She's like, look at me like, what, are you crazy? No, I remember her saying that because I wasn't going to initiate it. But you know what? We wanted to get to know each other better. So we went from acquaintance to casual friends. And then we went to very good friends, close friends. And then we're in love, and then we went to the next step, and we started courting together. But along the way, there was milestones along the way. I got to know her. I got to know her favorite drink, Dr. Pepper. I got to know her favorite color. At that time, it was purple. Now it was green with Caleb. Now what was it with Philip? Blue. Now what is it now? Green again. So husbands, pay attention. When they have kids, it changes sometimes, okay? And then it went from Dr. Pepper to Pepsi with Caleb. Then it stayed Dr. Pepper and sweet tea for the rest of the other two. So those things. And I got to know her, and I got to spend time with her. Guess what? Every spare moment of the day, we were together. We were like glued, all together. I mean, I had other friends, and they were getting mad at me. Like, so what are you? I said, well, you don't hang out with us anymore. I said, I'm sorry. Hey, but I'm going to marry somebody. I'm not marrying you. Sorry, I waited 4 years for this. But then we included each other's friends and things like that. But we were always together. We were inseparable, which is a good thing if you're going to get married, I think. Amen. And we've been inseparable ever since. I don't know what we're going to do with this two-week trip in October. I don't know. But I'm going to be lost. And one day, I'm going to be honest with you. I was thinking one day, I actually got kind of scared. I'm traveling halfway around the world without my wife. This is scary. Never done this before. I was always been with other people. But anyway, so doing that, we went from acquaintance, casual friend, close friend. And then we have become the best of friends. I think that's important when you're married to somebody that you ought to be, when we see intimate friends. We come to the place of close friends and know each other, know a lot about each other. Some people say, hey, we're best friends when we get to this point. And a lot of Christians, they get to the close friend. They say, well, I'm not an acquaintance. I'm not a casual friend. I'm a close friend of God. And they've come up to right here. And they said, they see everybody else, by the way, they see everybody else down there and say, hey, I'm in a good spot. What's the problem with this? God's over here. They're looking this way. need to turn around. Because if you're looking at Jesus, you don't see who's behind you. You don't care who's behind you. All you care is who's in front of you. And that's the Lord. And when we look, and what we do is we turn, instead of being here, we get up to this point, and then through a series of processes, we look back. Just like Lot's wife looked back. We look back and we say, hey, I've come a pretty long way. I've done a lot. And the devil begins to say, yeah, you've come a long way. Look at all those other people down there. I mean, look at all the other people in the church. Come on. You know, you are the most spiritual of them all. You're closer to God than anybody else. You know, you could just stay right here and be fine. You know, you're serving God and you're close to God. Why don't you just stay right here? And you know what? In order to get to this point, it took some investment of time and effort. It took work. It does. Sorry, things don't come free. Despite what the government tells you. Things aren't free. You know, so many times with Christians, you know, we're conservative in our fiscal policy, but we're liberal when it comes to our spiritual policy. Because we think it all comes free. Think there's no work and no sacrifice for any of it. It just all comes naturally. No, it takes work. Trust me, it takes work to read your Bible at 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't feel like it. You're not going to feel like it because your flesh doesn't want that. But your spirit needs it. And you need that relationship. This is how you learn about God right here, is His Word. And then as we come, we study the Word of God, and we make it a part of our heart, and we hide it in our heart, and we make a point to take the journey and take steps to be close to God, then there's going to be some changes that take place. You know, people have it the wrong way around. They said, so you know what? So in order to be close to God, I need to have standards. No, 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 no. You're close. You're because you're close to God, you have standards. Amen. You don't, by just having standards and not doing things doesn't make you any closer to God than anybody else. You know what? The Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Catholics have more standards than we do many times. But they're no closer to God or any closer to heaven than anybody else. But you have them because you love God, because you don't want anything to come in the middle between you and God. That's the reason you have them. There's another step. You're here. And he said, hey, I'm good. There's another step before you get to heaven. There's another step. And this step right here, very few people take. Very few people take. This is the step that Enoch took. This is the step that Abraham took. This is the step that Moses took. This is the step that brought them into the place of being called the friend of God. And that's an intimate friend. This is the closest relationship that an individual can have. Here are the attributes of that. They have common goals. They have a common goal in their life. And when you get to here, by the way, God's goals and God's purposes aren't going to change. Amen? Because they're eternal and they're perfect. So when we get to this place, it is the place of humbleness and surrender. Not my will, but thine. We see the example of this with Jesus, with His Heavenly Father. And we get to this place and we say, hey, this is not my will, but yours, dear Lord. This is what I need. This is what I want. I don't want to be down here. I want to be close to you as I can be. They spend every moment possible together. Spend every time you moment you can in prayer and reading the Word of God. Spends every moment possible. Communication, in that you speak to God and He speaks to you. You know, God speaks back to you, by the way. He speaks to His Word. He speaks to our heart. And we can communicate with Him and He speaks back. So many times they have this false idea that we're just to pray and then we don't get an answer back. We're not like the other religions of the world that just pray and that's it. It doesn't even go past the ceiling. We have an almighty, living, and wonderful God that speaks to us. I mean like a voice from heaven? No, but the still, small voice that speaks in our heart. And that still, small voice is never going to go against this. If that still, small voice is speaking and it's saying going against the Word of God, it's not the God
Oh, the devil loves to try and imitate God. But when you know the Lord and you have that close and intimate relationship, just like Jesus said, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And they know me. The only way you can know Jesus and know his voice is if you've been listening to him for a long time. You know what his voice sounds like. Also, this is a place of complete trust, that you completely trust God. You completely trust him. Place of complete sacrifice. Place of complete loyalty. And place of complete obedience. Now, notice the word complete, meaning nothing held back. Not one thing. Not one itty-bitty little thing. You know what? To be honest, we'll just be honest about it right here and right now. No matter how many times we get up to this altar and we pray and we give everything over to God, there's usually something we leave out. Just to be honest about it. There's something that we will surrender that portion that God spoke to us about, but there's not many people that'll go up and just give it all out there. Completely. We all struggle with that. That's not just certain people. That's everybody. We all struggle with that because that goes completely against what our flesh wants. This is the level of Moses, Abraham, Elijah, Peter, and Paul. This is the level that every Christian should strive for and can be attained onto. No, we look at the Bible and say, you know what, Pastor, I understand what you're saying. I preach this message not just once, but several times, and there are some that are, there's always the same reaction. There are some people that are intrigued, like maybe that could be me. There's some people that could care less. There are some people that, well, I've thought about it, but I decide that's not for me. Why would you not want to be in the place of the close relationship? But what we think is we believe the lie. Pastor, you know, they were special. I understand God had a special purpose for them. I understand that. But God has a special purpose for you. And by the way, it doesn't make their purpose more important than your purpose. And they were close to God. And they loved God. And we say, but Pastor, you know, this is the Bible. Stuff like that doesn't happen anymore. Who said? God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? It's in there. It says, I change not. Man hasn't changed either. Times are different. You know, we're just in a different church age, Pastor. You know, we hear people say, we're just in a different church age. We're in the age of grace, and we don't need all of this dedication anymore and all of this stuff. By the way, you don't see that any of that written here. But instead, how wrong we are when we say it is impossible. It still is possible. Only we are the ones that are unwilling to allow ourselves to be surrendered and trusting to that level. What kind of relationship do you want to have with God? That's really the question. Are you the friend of God? You know, and to Pastor, you know, what would you clap? I don't qualify myself as the friend of God. I want to be. I want to be, but I'm not going to stand here and say that I am. I try my best, and I want to be to that level, and I want to be there. But all of us are striving for that. We should want it. I want that. We should want that. But some of us don't want it. See, everywhere we go, every church I've ever been in, there's certain people that do and then certain people that don't. Let me ask you the question, why don't you want it? It's a real good question. Why don't you want it? Because really what it boils down to is you deem something more important than God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. When something is more important than God, then it's an idol. It's something you bow down and worship instead of God. I don't want that kind of. I want to stay at the acquaintance level. I want to stay at the casual friends level. I want to stay at the close friend level. But I don't want to get all the way up here. I don't want to get to the intimate friend level. That's just it. It's just not me. No, it costs too much, is what it is. It costs too much. The place where you're willing to lay down your life for the Savior. Whatever he tells you to do, you'll do it. Whatever he desires, you will want to do it. You will willingly lay down his life. That's what Jesus did. He laid down his life willingly for us because he had that relationship with his Heavenly Father. So tonight, what kind of relationship do you want with Jesus? He wants that close relationship. He wants that. Do you want it? So I'll think about it. You'll keep on thinking. But it takes a decision, a step. And it doesn't, by the way, if you come down here, you know, we want things so quick and easy. You know what? It's a pastor. I want that intimate relationship. I'm going to come down to the altar and I'm going to pray. And when I stand up, I'm going to have that close relationship with God. No, that's where you start. We start right here. But it takes day by day, moment by moment, surrender, study, communication, and you grow in that. You can't go from there to there in a moment. But it's a process. It's a growth. And just like you can't go, like I tried to go from nothing to marriage in 1 minute. It doesn't work that way. However, people say, well, it's going to take a long time, Pastor. I'm on my journey, Pastor. And I'm getting there at my pace. Hold on. Amen. Now you know where I'm going as a pastor. Oh, this sounded great, Pastor. Pastor gave me an out. No, closing the loophole here. Well, I'm just going to go at my pace. Let's go at God's pace. And as you grow, you're going to make some decisions about things. And guess what? There's going to be people that look at you funny. There's going to be people in church. Guess what? When you're dedicated to God, there's going to be people that look, what's wrong with you? You know, you're living for God and you're dedicated, you're on fire. They're going to look at you like, you're weird. No, you're just normal. In God's eyes. Why do they view you as weird? Because they're more like the world than they're like God. What's in their heart comes out. How close a relationship do you want with God? Say, Pastor, I want that. Then begin it at the altar tonight, but have a plan of how you're going to accomplish that. By the way, it's not a magic formula. It comes from a heart that is open. Is your heart open to God? You know, I've asked a lot of people that question. Is your heart open to God? And they say, well, it's not. Kind of is. In some areas. Our heart needs to be completely open to God. Whatever is there, Lord, that you don't want, will you take it out? I want to be close to you. There is nothing in this life. There is nothing in my heart. There is nothing in this world that I would rather have than you. I'll be able to give it all up. I don't care what it is. I want to grow in my relationship with you because what I have now is not what I want. I want you, dear Lord. And that's that moment when we come down to the place of surrender and we fasten our eyes on Jesus and we don't look away and we sing that hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full at his wonderful face, and we begin walking forward. And by the way, we're not going to care that we're leaving the world behind. We're not going to care because we know it's all a fake anyway. Why do people not want a close relationship with God? They really don't believe the Bible. They really don't believe what God says about the world. They really don't believe that they're in sin. They really don't believe that they're doing anything wrong. They really don't believe any of it. I'm okay the way I am. And you break the heart of God. He wants that for you. It's as a parent that wants to have a close relationship with their child, but the child won't have them. I don't want that. By the way, there's nothing more devastating to a parent than that. Amen? Some of us lived through that. Not me, but others have. Nothing more devastating than that. And that's what we're doing to God. He is our Heavenly Father. He wants that relationship. We say, Lord, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I'll just be here where I'm at. I'll let you know. I'll give you a call, Lord. I'll text you when I'm ready. How sad. Decision's yours. What relationship do you want? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that you would bless us and help us. Lord, bring us back to the place of desire, of wanting, of seeking that close relationship and friendship with you. Oh, dear Lord, we forget, we come so busy, so many things and cares of this life, we become weary and well-doing, and we forget where we need to be. Lord, I pray that you would help us get our desires and our wants in our life the right way, that we would get our priorities in the right place, that we would have our desires to be what you would want us to have, not what we desire alone. For Lord, we pray that you would bless and help us to grow in our relationship, help us to draw closer. For Lord, whenever we become busy and burdened, it seems that the natural response is to pull away instead of draw closer. Dear Lord, I pray that we would draw closer to you in every way. We praise you and we thank you for your word, and I pray that we would live by what we heard tonight and that we would want that close relationship. Oh, we've grown. Many have grown. Many have dedicated themselves to you. But Lord, we need that last step, that next level. I pray that we would desire it and we would endeavor to do it. Dear Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us in your word tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, no one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, a place of decision tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and maybe you know about God and maybe you, I think I'm saved, but then when you hear the message and the Lord convicts your heart and said, I'm not saved, I know I'm not. I've been the acquaintance of God. I know about him, but I've proclaimed that I'm saved, but I know I'm not tonight. Who would say with an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I've claimed to be, but I know that I'm not real. I know that I'm just an acquaintance. I know about God, but I don't really know him. Is there someone like that tonight? Just slip your hand up wherever you are. Say, that's me. Please pray for me. Anybody at all tonight, please pray for me. Anybody at all. Yeah, you know about God, but you don't know him as your Savior. Anybody like that tonight? Just slip your hand up if that's you. Say, please pray for me. Anybody like that, oh, please pray for me. For those that are saved here tonight, what kind of relationship do you want to have? Do you just want to be down at the bottom level, bare bones, or do you want to be dedicated? Maybe you used to be. Maybe you used to be one of those Christians that was close to God, but now you're backslidden. You've backed away because you got your eyes off Jesus. Maybe you need to get back to that tonight. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and come back to him tonight. Make a decision.